This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
There's always something new to report in biblical archaeology, and that's why we've been able to keep doing this program for four decades. Later in February, we'll be celebrating the 40-year anniversary of The Book in the Spade with a live report, with the opportunity to question an archaeologist working in Israel. I'll have more on how you can receive an invitation to this event at the end of this program. Sometimes archaeologists find what they expect to find. Sometimes it's a total surprise. And sometimes they don't find what they're certain is there, somewhere. That's been the case with Hatzor, one of the largest ancient cities in northern Israel. I interviewed Israeli archaeologist Amnon Ben-Tor at Hebrew University 27 years ago, near the beginning of the excavation, as he was picking up where Yigael Yadin left off.
Yadin's excavations there caused a lot of interest. The results of his excavation, which were published in the 60s, and the last volume appeared only about 4 years ago, provoked a lively debate. Hatzor has something to say about everything. If it is history, if it is chronology, if it is pottery typology, if it is Bible, if it is art history, you name it, Hatzor is a member in this discussion. People either accepted Yadin's conclusions, rejected Yadin's conclusions, accepted some, rejected the others. So there is a lot of noise around Hatzor. So goal number one is to try and check Yadin's conclusions, especially his stratigraphy and chronology. This is 40 years later, 40 years after Yadin's excavations, and it's time to try and check it with new eyes, new ideas, new people, new techniques, and so on. Number one. Number two is to gather more information in order to be able to deal with many issues which Yadin left open. Unresolved. One or two of these is the extent of the city of the 10th century. Probably you know that the 10th century is under very heavy fire in the past few years.
This would be the time of David and Solomon?
For those who accept David and Solomon as historical figures, yes. As you know, there are many who say that they're just fiction. Hatzor in the 10th century is a major issue, and I think we have already come to some final conclusion with regards to this city. But this is only one issue. Another issue, major issue maybe, this is why Yadin and Aharoni went there in the first place, is the question of conquest and settlement of Canaan by the Israelites. As you know, there are several versions with regard to this process. Yadin thought he had a solution, or he thought he had an answer, but now we tend to think a little bit different. And also his answers were not accepted by everybody. I don't know if anybody's answers can be accepted by everybody, but it definitely is an issue worthwhile checking. Another major issue is the archive. We are looking for the Hatzor archive, which I know is there. The only question is, you have to dig in order to at least try and find it. So here you have another reason for going back to Hatzor, to try and deal with some of the issues which were left unresolved by Yadin. Number three, I am very sorry that not enough people come to visit Hatzor. Hatzor is a major archaeological site, and it is very exciting, and archaeologists can spend a week at Hatzor. Very few people come, I'm not talking about archaeology, tourists, students, school children and so on, for whom Hatzor can be a very, very exciting site. There are many reasons, but one of the reasons is it's very difficult for the layman to understand Hatzor. You know, we archaeologists, we see two stones and we have a wall, and four stones and we have a palace. Ordinary people don't see this. We're trying to make Hatzor more attractive or more easy to understand to lay people, to, as I said, school children and so on, by restoring some of the buildings. They have to see the building standing. Try and bring Hatzor to life again so that more people will visit it.
We've talked in our program about the archive at Hatzor, how interesting that would be and important to find it. Why are you convinced that it's there?
That's also a very, very difficult question. First of all, let me remind you that in this country so far, no archive has been discovered. On the face of it, it is strange. If we take the archives and we look at the common denominators, the archives which were found, they are usually found in capital cities of the second millennium, and there on the Acropolis, either on the palace or in the temple. Now we are digging on the Acropolis of a major capital city of the second millennium, and we are digging the palace of this city. So we have all the reason to believe that this is where the archive will be found. But this is only one reason. We have several other reasons. The king of Hatzor in the 14th century, Abdi Tirshi, sent a few letters to Egypt, to the Egyptian king, Akhenaten or Amenophis IV, complaining about the security situation and so on and so forth. He sent letters, or let's say the scribe sent letters. There must have been a scribe at Hatzor. There must be an archive. If you go even further back, in the time of Mari, there's a huge correspondence, or there's a huge number of tablets in Mari, on the Euphrates, of the 18th century. And among these, there are at least 20 which mention Hatzor. Commodities coming and going, ambassadors coming and going. We have the Mari side. Where is the Hatzor side? Add to this the fact that a few tablets were already found. One tablet was found by a tourist in 1970, just lying on the ground in a dump out of what we now know to have been the palace. It's a legal document, highly, highly interesting. We ourselves found two documents. Not in their context, not in their proper layer, but we found two documents. Yadin found a fragment of an, how shall I say, exercise of a scribe. Okay, so a scribe was exercising at Hatzor, so the archive is there. There is no question, the only question is where. And I think we are in the right place. In 2 or 3 years, I'll be able to tell you, I told you so. But right now, it's just a promise.
It's actually been 27 years since that interview. Excavations continue at Hatzor, now directed by other people. A lot of important discoveries, but still, the archive has not yet been found at Hatzor. As I continue that 1996 interview with Amnon Bentor, I ask him about the new technology he was using.
Everybody always asks this question, and I believe, maybe I'll give you a very conservative answer, even in 100 years, people will still excavate using the tools that they used 50 years ago. There is no substitute for the little patish which we are using and for the little brush and for all. You cannot mechanize this. Excavations will always be a slow, slow, slow process using the tools which were at the disposal 2,000 years ago. The question is only, what do you do with the data? How fast and how much of it can you digest? Of course, there are other things which we are trying. You have GPR, ground penetrating radar. And this is something that is still very much in an experimental phase. A team will come, as I told you, we're digging a palace, which walls which are very, very thick. We shall try and get a plan or an idea of the layout of this palace in the areas which are still unexcavated. But this will not come instead of the excavation. We shall then have to excavate and see, even if we get a picture there, how accurate is this picture. This is using modern technology in its experimental phase, assuming I know from the radar that there is a room here. I still have to excavate it, but it might help me in finding out where is the extent of the building. Maybe I don't have to dig another 20 squares to the west, maybe only 10 squares to the west. This is some of the new technologies which we are trying at least to use.
Why was Hatzor important as an ancient city?
That's a very good question, only I can tell you that everybody asks this question. What is so special about Hatzor? Because if you say trade routes and so on, any city lies on the trade routes. Why is the Hatzor more important than any other city? First of all, it is large. It is the largest yet known in this period in this country. Canaanite Hatzor is about 10 times the size of Jerusalem in the days of David and Solomon. Again, if these two are historical figures, which I believe they are. But nowadays you have to make this kind of reservation. So it is very difficult for me to answer this. Maybe, here comes a huge maybe. The very important city at that time was Mari. If you look at the Mari documents, you'll see that one famous document talks about tin. And you know how important tin was in the ancient world for the production of weapons and so on. Tin was sent to the major cities of Syria via Mari. And if you look at this document, the king of Hatzor received more tin than any other king in the region. And everybody asked the question, why? And now let me guess. I believe there were family ties between the king of Mari and the king of Hatzor. Maybe one of the wives of Zimrilim, a lady by the name of Atar Aya, we know her by name from document, was the daughter of the king of Hatzor. Maybe this is the reason why Hatzor got, as I said, received preferential treatment. All these are maybes. For example, if you live in Babylon and dream, okay, we have a dream text. Somebody dreams that he goes on a trip. He leaves Babylon and he goes from Babylon to Mari, from Mari to Emar, from Emar to Aleppo, from Aleppo to Ebla, from Ebla to Katna, from Katna to Hatzor, and that's it. That's the end of the dream. You can see that all the important cities of Syria and Mesopotamia, if you wish, are mentioned in this one dream text. They are somehow in the same context. But if you ask why, we don't know yet why. It's just a fact.
What about the kings of Hatzor? Was it a dynasty there? Could it be the force of personalities or the family that was there?
Like any other city, we are talking about dynasties. Unfortunately, we only know the name of one of the kings of Hatzor, let's say in the 18th century, and this is a man by the name of Ibn Adu, who is known to us from the texts at Mari and from a broken text, by the way, which we found 3 years ago at Hatzor. So this is one name. Another one we know, a person who lived maybe 300 years later, and his name is Abdi Tirshu. This is an entirely different name, but kings of the same dynasty may have different names, okay? You have Ramses and you have Mar-Neftah, which are both of the same dynasty and they have different names, but maybe also a different dynasty. But then, very interesting, if you look at the name of the king of Hatzor in the Bible, you remember what his name was?
Yavin
or Jabin, if you wish. If you connect this with the first name which I told you, Ibn Adu, Ibn Yavin, they seem to be of the same root. Maybe it's a dynastic name. Okay, like you have Ramses I, Ramses II, and so on. And each of them has just one component, which is, let's say, the dynastic component. So common sense tells us that these were dynasties, ruling dynasties, but ruling dynasties kept changing all over the ancient Near East. It's very difficult to say if it was one dynasty or how many dynasties ruled Hatzor during that period.
Archaeologist Amnon Bentor, in a 1996 interview on his excavation at Tel Hatzor, which the Book of Joshua famously refers to as the head of all the Canaanite kingdoms. He's one of 350 archaeologists and Bible scholars we've interviewed over the past 40 years on the Book and the Spade. We'll be celebrating that 40-year anniversary on February 15th, and we're inviting you to join us in the celebration. It's going to be a live recording on the Zoom webinar platform. Our special guest will be Scott Stripling, president of the Near East Archaeological Society, and you can ask him questions as part of the program. We also have some biblical archaeology prizes to give away. If you'd like to receive an invitation to be a part of this anniversary celebration, send us an email. The address is radioscribe@gmail.com. That's radioscribe@gmail.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Listen again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.